Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Well, good morning. I don't know how you think about prayer. We obviously are still in our prayer series. And when you think about prayer, you can have different kinds of feelings about it. My hope is today I can help you think about prayer as a gift. We don't always think about it that way. I think sometimes we think about getting a gift in the mail, and you might think, prayer feels more like a bill to me. It feels more like something I have to deal with, something I'm supposed to do, something that is just required of me. But I think when we understand prayer rightly, we start to realize it's actually a gift and an incredible opportunity for us to connect with our God who created us, who created this world, who has an incredible plan for our lives. In order for that plan to play out, we need to be in communication with Him in order to even understand who we really are, to understand our own identity in the chaos of this world, to be able to connect with God, to spend time with Him, to pray to Him. It's a gift. It's an opportunity. And when I think about mail and I think about gifts, I was thinking about, I think, three kinds of people. One, the first group of people, when you receive a gift in the mail, if you haven't opened it by the time you walk in the door, you will have opened it very shortly after getting in the door because you're so excited to receive a gift. You want to see what's inside, and you're excited to use it, whatever it is. Then the second type of person is excited but also distracted, and they walk in, and they might set it on the counter. They might set it on the table somewhere, and they just kind of forget about it for a little while until they kind of see it sitting there, and then they get excited again. They open it and take advantage of the gift they've gotten. And then you've got the third kind of people, which you don't have to admit this is you, but these are the people who I don't even know if they're excited about the gift when they get it. And they walk in and they set it on the counter or on the table, and it sits for a while, and then the next day they set some more mail there, or a shirt, or a jacket, and then before you know it, the gift is like covered under seven layers of all kinds of other stuff. And about 2 years later, they find the gift and remember that someone gave it to them and open it then, maybe. And I think when we think about prayer, actually, for most of us, there's probably seasons in our lives where all three of those things are true in the way that we relate to prayer as a gift. Sometimes we're in a season where we're really excited about our relationship with God. We're really excited about the opportunity to connect with Him, and we feel like it's bearing fruit in our lives, and so we want to take advantage of that gift. Other times, as you know, we get distracted. And other times, we're just simply not that excited about it. We don't see any effect that it's having on our life. We don't really know how to do it, what we're supposed to do with it. And so we can find ourselves just setting it aside and thinking, you know what, I don't know if I've prayed in days or weeks or months or maybe even years. My hope would be is that wherever we are this morning, that God would speak to us in such a way that by the end of the morning, we're excited to pick up that gift again. We're excited to engage with it and take advantage of the good gift of communication with our Heavenly Father who loves us and who has a good plan for us. And I feel like when we look at the book of Psalms and we think about King David, he was one, it seems like most of the time, who was really excited about the gift. He was one who opened it quick and used it often. We get that picture when we just read through the Psalms. Many, many of the Psalms were written by King David, and he prays all kinds of different prayers, as we've seen through this series. And today we're going to be thinking about a particular kind of prayer called prayers of petition. So those are just when we ask God for something. In fact, when the psalmists petition God, they are asking Him to do one of these things, usually either just to act in some particular way, to protect them, to help, to forgive, to guide, to deliver them from something that they're facing. And petition is not an unfamiliar term for us, but it's a little different when most of us deal with petition type things. If you're like me, you maybe have at one time in your life walked like half a mile around a parking lot to avoid someone holding a clipboard that wanted you to sign their petition for something. I just don't like having the conversation because I don't know what they're going to talk about, but it's a disruption. But even in our world, a petition just simply means we're going to someone who's got authority, a higher authority, and we're asking them to act in a specific way. On our behalf or on behalf of others, there's a need that we see, and we want something to be done about it. And the cool thing about Psalm 86 is I think it gives us a really cool, like, model of a prayer of petition. It's an act of faith, the way David addresses it. And it's grounded in God's character rather than in David's own worthiness. He doesn't come to God saying, like, I'm awesome and I've done all this great stuff, so I deserve something from you. We'll see that he comes about it really differently. David is faithful much of the time, but if you know David's story, you also know he's not faithful some of the time. But it's God's grace. It's always God's grace, the good gifts that he gives us. Every answer to prayer that we get, every gift that we get in this life, the roof over our head, the food that we eat, the relationships that we have, the air that we breathe, it's all God's grace to us. And he's going to help us see that today. The book of Psalms is divided into five books. Usually we just think of the book of Psalms, but when you look deeper into it, you see it's divided into groupings. And this Psalm 86 is found in the third book. And it's interesting because the third book of Psalms is mostly about national crisis for God's people. It's about dark days. It's about hard things. David's king. And the kingdom around him is beginning to crumble. It's beginning to be divided. And things are not good. In fact, we see as we read through these verses at the beginning and at the end, he expresses that he's concerned for his own life, that there are men that are out to get him. They want to kill him. And so that's part of his prayer, is asking to be saved from that situation. But it's also cool that this psalm is the only one in the third book of Psalms that's written by David himself. All the other songs are attributed to others. And so we get in the midst of all the national craziness, all the kingdom falling apart, a really personal prayer from David, addressing a lot of different things, external and internal, inside of him. And these are important prayers that he prays. And they give us a model to follow. And I want to focus on three things that he does here. The first one that you'll see is he's honest about his need. The second one is he focuses heavily on God's character, on who it is that he's asking. And the third one is he prays not only for his immediate circumstances or his external circumstances, but he prays for God to change his heart, to do work inside of him. And so we're going to get to see how he does that and use that as a model for us as we think about our prayers of petition when we go to God, how that can be helpful and instructive for us. Let's talk about petition in light of our need. The very first verse that we see in this psalm is, "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." That's not the first thing that you would think King David would be saying about himself, that he's poor because he had a lot of stuff, that he's needy because he had a lot of power and a lot of people around him. But I don't think it's so much about those things. I think what David is really getting at here is he knows that God is God, and he knows that he is not, and he knows that he doesn't have control over what's happening around him. And so he's seeking God's face. He's seeking God's help in the midst of his neediness. And I don't know how hard it was for David to write those words in this psalm. I don't know how hard it was for him to admit to himself or others or to God that he was poor and that he was needy, but I know for most of us that's a hard thing to admit. I know we live in a culture that tells us, you know, you should be able to do it yourself. You shouldn't be having to ask others for help. Figure it out. Don't admit your weaknesses. That's what makes you strong. That's what makes you worthy. And so for us to, even to others, but even in our relationship with God, to be able to say, you know what? I'm just going to admit I'm not as strong as I like to make it look like I am. I have needs that I can't deal with on my own. Just like we sing in the song, "Lord, I need you." That's where we have to start in our prayers of petition. If we don't, if we're not willing to admit that we have a need, if we're not willing to admit that we can't do it on our own, one of two things happens. Either we just don't ask at all because we feel like, I'm doing pretty good. There's a lot of people who I know, and there's people that I've talked to, that when you want to talk to them about Jesus, and you want to talk to them about the need we have for Jesus, their response is, I'm doing pretty good on my own. I've kind of got this figured out. And in my mind, I think you're doing pretty good on your own getting to the place that you want to go. I'm not sure how good you're doing on your own getting to the place that God wants you to go. And the place that God wants you to go, the things that God wants for you, are way better than anything that we can get to on our own. Any road that we decide we want to take by ourselves. And so we might just not ask at all. We might think, I'm good. I've got this handled. Or the other thing we might do, which we find ourselves doing sometimes, is I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to work hard to figure it out. And I'm going to keep trying to figure it out until it becomes absolutely clear that there's no way I can figure it out. And then when I realize I can't figure it out, when I've tried everything and talked to everybody and looked up everything on the internet I possibly can, then I will turn to God. He's my backup plan. If I can't figure it out, then I'll turn to God. I think what God wants from us in lots of things, because he cares about everything in our lives, is that when we face things in our life, is that we go to him first. We turn to him and you say, I think maybe I got an idea about this, Lord, but I want to know what you want. I want to know what you think is best. I want you to know that I could probably go into this meeting at work and do a good job, but I don't know what you might want to do through me in there. So will you just help me as I go in there, as I walk in the school at the beginning of the day, or as I have to deal with a crisis and I have to have a hard conversation. Lord, I might be able to figure this out and it might turn out okay, but I want to start with you. I want to ask you first to help me, because I'm not as great as I sometimes think I am. And it's awesome to see King David start his psalm before he starts asking anything, just telling God, I need you. I'm weak and I'm poor and I need your help. It's out of his control. The second thing we see David do in this psalm is to focus heavily on God's character. It actually makes a difference what we picture, who we picture, what we think of God when we go to talk to him. Do we think he cares? Do we think he has time for us? Do we think he's too busy? Do we think he's mad at us? Do we think he's too frustrated and he needs some cooling off time before he's going to want to talk to us? There's all kinds of things that we can think. And so we got to lean into the character of God. And that's what David does in this psalm. He leans in. He wants to picture, okay, and remember, who is this God that I'm talking to? Who is this God that I'm asking something of? And when you get a good, biblical, true picture of who God is, I think it frees us up to ask for the things that God would want us to ask for. So let's look at some of the things that he says. I've just taken, when you read the psalm, you'll kind of see the way it's laid out as he looks at God's character, then he asks something. Then he looks at God's character and he asks something of him, and it just kind of goes back and forth. I'm just going to put a lot of these together here. So looking at our petitions in light of God's character, he starts with verse 5, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you." Then verse 8, "Among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare to yours." Verse 10, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Is that the God you think of? Is that the God you picture? A God who's forgiving and good? A God who's abounding in love? Abounding and abounding in love. A God who is the only God. As we think about where do I go? Where do I turn? David's saying, there is none like you. There are no deeds out there like yours. There is one God, and it is you. So it only makes sense that that's the God that he would turn to. In verse 13, it tells us that he delivers. He has delivered David, but it also reads in the sense of David's trust that he will continue to deliver him. David can look back in his own life, in his own experience with God, and look at the faithfulness of God to him in his own experience and trust that God is the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. If he's faithful in the past, he will be faithful today. He will continue to be faithful in the future. But he also goes farther back in 15. It's really cool. He goes all the way back in the history of God with his people to Exodus 34, verse 6. God reveals this to Moses as he's giving him the Ten Commandments, and he passes in front of Moses, and he says this about himself. He says, I am a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's who God says that he is, with his own voice to Moses and through his word to us. Think about a person in your life. I don't know who will come to mind, but if I just said, hey, who's the most trustworthy person you know? Who is the person who, if you were in a really tough situation and you needed to call somebody who you knew for sure would show up and would help you? Think about who that would be. And I would say to you, that person is a gift from the Lord. So take full advantage of the help, because God uses the people in our lives to show up for us and to provide for us. They are a gift from God for us. But I would also say that whatever that person can do great, God can do perfectly. And sometimes he uses those people in our lives, and sometimes he shows up in a whole different way. But when we trust the God who the Bible talks about, when we trust that he is who he says he is, it makes it easier for us to trust him with our requests, to go to him not just with the little things, but with the really, really hard things. To say, God, I'm going to come to you with this because your word tells me that you made me, you know me, you love me, you want what's best for me, you're good, you're just, you're powerful, you can do anything that you want to do. Your plan is better than mine. And so it only makes sense to take those things to the Lord. So think about, as you go to prayer, even this week, who are you thinking about in terms of, like, who is this God that I'm talking to? Am I believing rightly about who he is? Because how we think about him is going to determine and form how we talk to him and the kinds of requests that we're willing to bring, and if we even trust him to do anything about it. Sometimes I don't think we pray because we just think, I don't think he's going to do anything. I think this is all symbolic. But if you believe the word of God, you know that that's not true, that he does care, and he is able to act on your behalf, and he is willing to act on your behalf. And especially when our requests are in line with what he wants for our life, that's when we know we can be very certain that he's going to act for us. And that's where this next part comes into play. This is petitions that transform our desires. Because we can come to God with all kinds of different things. And you probably know, man, if you think back in your, if you've had a prayer life with God, you could probably think back, ooh, did I really ask God for that? Like, I know why he didn't give me that. Because he knows what's good for me and he knows what's not. And sometimes we ask for things that we know aren't good for us or not in line with what he wants. But this is where David makes this turn. We see at the beginning and the end, he's worried about his life. He's worried about the threat that's coming upon him. He's worried about the nation and everything that's happening around him. And this is where he turns from the external to the internal. And we get to see him make these petitions that are about what's inside of his heart, not just what's going on around outside in his life. In verse 2, he says, guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. He's saying, I trust in you, God. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call on you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. Again, This isn't him saying like how great he is. I think what he's really saying is, God, you have called me to be your son. I am part of your covenant community. And because of that, you've worked in my life in such a way that I am in tune with you, that I'm walking with you the best that I can. And because of that, I can trust that you're going to act for my good. And it's all in your grace. It's not in my own efforts. And then he says, verse 6 and 7, hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I will call to you because you answer me. Not because I hope you will answer me. Because you do answer me. From his own experience, he knows that's true. And then this is my favorite part coming up here. Verse 11 and 12. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Okay, so here you have King David, who has just got done saying like three times in a row how faithful he is to God, how much he is trusting God with what's going on in his life. And then in the next verse, he says, but my heart's divided. He's saying, I kind of trust in you. Part of my heart is trusting in you. Part of my heart is trusting in something or someone else out there. You don't have my whole heart, but I want you to. Would you not only save me from the outside, would you do a work within my heart so that I'm fully devoted to you, God? I don't know about you, but I would say I feel like my heart has been divided about 95% of my life. There's glimpses, there's short seasons where I feel like I was like all in with the Lord, that my attention wasn't divided, that my loyalties weren't divided, that I wasn't trying to take advantage of the good gifts that God wanted for me, but also trying to figure it out on my own over here, or also seeking God's goodness over here, or other people's goodness that they would provide in some other way, hedging my bets in some way instead of just saying, Lord, I want to give you all of me. And it's easier to say that, I know, than it is to do it. But that's David's prayer here. Fix me on the inside. Turn my heart towards you. Because I think he knows that a heart that's fully devoted to God is a heart that's going to pray prayers that are going to be fruitful because they're prayers that are in line with God's will for his life. And when our prayers are in line with God's will for our life, then we can be pretty certain that those are prayers that he's going to want to answer. And this isn't just in this psalm. I mean, it's all over the Bible. Let me just show you some others. I have to turn around because I realize in the first service it's so small I can't read it on that screen. So, Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think this happens in two ways. As you even read the commentaries on, they're saying it's both that he gives us desires for good things. He gives us desires that are the same kind of desires that he would have. And that's what we want. Like, take away the sinful desires in my heart and give me good, holy desires, the same kinds that you want for me. So he can give us those desires. And then he follows through on those. When we have desires that are good and holy and biblical and righteous and just in line with what he wants for us, then we can be pretty certain he's going to want to do something positive with that and answer it in a good way. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is in the context of him talking about just the basic necessities of life, what we wear and the food that we have to eat and the shelter over our head. And that can cause anxiety in our lives, worrying about those things. And yet Jesus says here, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the things that are most important to me. Have the same priorities I have. And when you do, don't worry about the other stuff. I'm going to take care of that stuff on your behalf. John 15:7, this is one of my favorite scriptures. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is assuming the vine and the branches relationship where we are connected to Jesus, where we're getting our life through him. His life is flowing into us. His goodness is flowing into us. When we have that connection, when we're living a life that's fueled by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to pray the kinds of prayers. We're going to ask what we want, because what we want is going to be what God wants, and it will be done for us. And a couple more, James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Sometimes we ask selfishly. And it's basically saying, you don't expect a yes answer. I mean, sometimes God works in all kinds of ways, but he wants us to be asking for good things, and he gives us good things. And I would say, I'm not saying don't enjoy the good gifts that God gives you in life, because he gives us great food. He gives us fun opportunities. He lets us enjoy his creation. He gives us friends and family and a roof over our head and clothes to wear. Those are all good gifts that we're meant to enjoy. I think God takes pleasure in us enjoying the gifts he gives us. But when our heart turns inward and it becomes all about us, that's when it stops working well. Gifts are meant to be shared with others, to enjoyed with others, and that we recognize that those gifts are from God. We haven't gotten them on our own. And finally, 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Again, as our hearts become aligned, undivided, fully given to Christ, our prayer life becomes more effective because we start praying for things that are good for us, things that God leads us to pray for. And sometimes we can think, well, that doesn't seem right, like he's going to take away all the things we want and just have us pray for the things that he wants. Well, that's only a problem if you believe that your way is better than his. When you trust that his way is better, then that's what we should want. We should hope that he will take away the things that are going to lead us down paths of destruction or hurt or sorrow and lead us down paths of life and joy and righteousness. He wants to bless us. He wants to lead us in good places. And so as we come to him with our prayers, my hope would be, even just practice it this week, we remember these three things. Let's be honest with God about our need. Just simply say, God, I need you. I'm so dependent on you, and I would be completely lost without you. I need you, and that's why I'm coming to you to have this conversation. Maybe it's to confess something. Maybe it's just to be thankful for something. Maybe it's just to praise his name for who he is. But when we bring our requests to him as well, our petitions, it starts with us just admitting we have a need, and we believe he's the one that can fulfill it. And let's focus on his character. Just think about, who am I talking to? What is he like? And when you believe rightly, when you have the right picture, it's going to really form a healthy conversation with him as you ask for things in your life. And then finally, don't just ask for the external things. Those are important. Yes, ask for those things. But also be thinking about what's happening inside your heart. Ask God what he might be wanting to do in your heart to draw you close, to lead you maybe in a different way than you're headed in the moment. So last thing we're going to do here, I wanted to talk about prayer, but I also want to give us a few minutes just to actually practice it. Do it together. And you're not going to have to do it together. I'm not going to ask you to pray out loud right now, but I'm going to put something on the screen as a little model based out of the scripture. And maybe this is something you want to take with you and work on this week. It's just, I think it's a helpful tool as we pray. But I'm just going to give you like 3 minutes and just a moment of silence. And this is just, I know it's hard to like focus in and let the distractions around you like fade for a few minutes, but just ask the Lord to help you. And go to one of these three or all of these places. You might be in a place this morning where you're like, I can't even remember the last time I prayed. And that, you can just say that to God. God, I can't even remember the last time I prayed. You can remember the last time I prayed, but I can't. But I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask for. So help me. Do something in me that's going to draw me closer. Or just help me know that this prayer thing is actually helpful and real and good for me. Or you might just be saying, God, I need you, and you have a really specific thing in your mind where you know that you need him. Take that to God this morning. Maybe you want to go to the middle one and just take a moment to express to God who he is, just to picture the truth that he is compassionate and gracious, that he's slow to anger, abounding in love, and faithfulness. And if those things are true, then say, so what does that lead me to ask of you, Lord? If that's who you are, what can I ask of you? And then finally, you might go to the last one, where you might just be saying, I think my heart's pretty divided right now. I think my loyalties are pretty divided. I think I'm trying to follow Jesus, but I'm trying to do a lot of other things at the same time. I'm trying to figure it all out. And Lord, I need help. Help me to have an undivided heart so that I can ask rightly and so that I can find joy in relationship with you. So I'm going to give you, I know 3 minutes, it's going to feel like a long time, but just enjoy it for a few minutes. And then I will close this in prayer in 3 minutes. Let's pray together. Jesus, you died so that this conversation with our Heavenly Father could even be possible. So that we could be called children of God and turn to a Father who loves us and who desires good things for us. And we recognize too that our hearts are easily divided, that we are easily distracted, and we would ask that you would turn our hearts back towards you, that we would have undivided hearts that are fully yours. And I pray that wherever each person in this room is today in their relationship with you, that you would meet them right where they are, that you would help them to know through your Holy Spirit that you are real and that you're there and that you care, that you know what's going on in their lives and that those things are important to you. And help them to trust that you've got a plan that's good. And you've got the power to make it happen when we trust in you and follow you. Help us to ask for things that will bring life to us and to others. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this example we have from King David as he turned his heart towards you. A God who he knew was good and compassionate and faithful. Help us to believe the same. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.